The sea in the Bible signifies chaos and danger. In the very first verse, God's Spirit hovers over the waters of chaos and brings order. The glorious depiction of the new creation, the joining of the new heaven and earth in chapter 22 of Revelation at the end of the Bible, the sea is no more. Disorder and chaos have been overcome. Now, I'm not a great sailor, but I am drawn to the beauty and the power of the sea, and I do have first-hand experience of the threats that lurk within it. I mentioned my rescue by a burly lifeguard a few weeks ago from a riptide. The year after, when we were living in Singapore, we had a trip to an island just off Malaysia with our two sons who are aged 2 and just a few months. The boat was fairly flimsy and bounced along as a storm gathered momentum, and I envisaged a grim, watery end, being a bit of a drama queen. But thankfully, the skill of the helmsman, who never seemed at all perturbed, delivered us. In celebration and relief, I promptly got out of the boat, ran down a wooden pier that stretched out into the sea, and jumped off into the water made cloudy by the storm. Even though it was probably 30 yards out into the sea, the water was only 3 foot deep at that point, and for the next few weeks I hobbled around on shattered ankles. But I remain eternally grateful to the angel that made me decide at the last minute, don't dive. The Sea of Galilee is prone to sudden violent storms with its distinctive weather systems. It's several hundred feet below sea level, and the interaction between hot and cold air in the mountains can create a funnel effect that produces very sudden squalls. And the fishermen disciples will have been used to severe and frequent turbulence during their work. Yet the storm in this story was clearly a particularly vicious one, one which they thought was to be the fatal one. They awake Jesus with urgency. Master, Master, we're perishing. This account occurs in a section in Luke which focuses on the identity of Jesus. His exhaustion, his need to crash out in the boat, get a few Zs, underlines his essential humanity. Yet he's able to command the forces of nature. In this exorcism of the evil from the natural world, he shows that he can remove the sting from creation. God is working through him. His authority is from God, the creator of all. And he invites us all in response to enter a relationship of trust and faith, which can be our foundation, our true identity, that enables us to weather all the storms of life. The context of the book of Revelation is a church being persecuted, engulfed by the storm in the form of the Roman Empire. It's a book of resistance and of vividly looking forward to the ultimate rule of Christ, the perfection of the new creation. And the symbolic and mathematics, the psychedelic visions we heard Susan read of intense brightness, jewels, rainbows, white robes, thunder, torches, sea of glass, perpetual worship are all wonderful metaphors for signs of God's ultimate triumph over the dark powers of earth. That triumph so yearned for by the persecuted yet faithful church. 3 years ago, when I was a curate at St. Catherine Cree, just down the road, I had the privilege of hearing Father Nadim Nasser speak memorably and powerfully on the calming of the storm with references to the crisis in Syria. Father Nadim is the only Syrian priest within the Church of England and helped set up the Awareness Foundation. And he spoke of the suffering of Syrian Christians, their sense of abandonment by the rest of the church, but also of the depths of their faith at the very center of a most troubling storm. Jesus doesn't guarantee that storms won't happen. We will all face trials. We'll be delivered through trial rather than from trial. But he is in the boat with us. He has suffered the worst that the world can throw at him. Many persecuted by the Romans, many caught up in the civil war in Syria, clearly didn't survive and experience deliverance in the here and now. But they and we have the sure hope of ultimate deliverance for all. The one who intervened in our current creation by calming the storm is the one who will perfect the new creation, our ultimate destiny in the full brightness of God's presence. This complete authority of God in Jesus is the foundation for our faith if we allow it to deepen, to allow it to become an applied faith that kicks in the times of adversity, when storms arise in our often over complex lives. Our worries over health, work issues, job security, families. I often experience sudden squalls of panic, often when suddenly awoken in the night, frequently revolving around things I've forgotten to do or corners that I've cut. The panic calms with a little quality time out, a walk, a prayer for support, one of those 999 prayers for assistance that form too big a proportion of my prayer life, I have to confess. Allowing Jesus into the situation can restore calm and perspective with remarkable strength, I find. And we are all agents of calming assurance, allowing Jesus to work through us, providing opportunity for friends, colleagues to talk about their fears, their storms. Giving such time can be transformational. With our heritage, with our position in this extraordinary but unrelenting city, being agents of assurance, pointing to Jesus, is a key part of our community's role in the mission of Christ in this city. Today, on the day when my mother would have celebrated her 80th birthday, Let us all be ever grateful for all the Spirit-inspired actions of assurance and calming that we've all benefited from parents, from friends over the years. I'd like to close with a prayer by Geoffrey John, who has faced several storms, many church-derived storms, unfairly in his life. He prays, "Give us, Lord, the grace to walk by faith through every storm of life, to keep our eyes on you. And when we fail to see or start to sink, stretch out your hand to raise us up. So may we learn to hold to you through good and ill until we come to the haven where we would be in everlasting joy and peace. In the name of Jesus, Amen."